Raider Nation has found its new home for daily Raiders content. This is Raider Nation Radio 920 AM, part of the Las Vegas Sports Network, KRLV Las Vegas. Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada, it's Silver and Black Today. Your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Culbranson.
Welcome back, Silver and Black Today. Hour number two on this Tuesday as we start to say goodbye to October. The Raiders game on Sunday will be the first game of November. Yes.
Yes, sir.
Move the calendar one more month forward after Halloween celebration. By the way, adults do not wear Halloween costumes. Am I correct?
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. But there's a lot that go to like Halloween parties and they always get dressed up and everything. Yeah. But, you know, to go out there and trick or treat, no, not at all.
Yeah, people... Going to a Halloween party, an adult Halloween party. Okay. I barely give them a pass. Very adult, Bobby says. That's fine. But like people who go to work in costume and stuff, man.
Yeah, there's some of those out there. But
next thing you know, they'll be eating Pop-Tarts, Q.
Well, not I. But I don't do the Halloween thing either. I'm actually the guy that turns my light off on Halloween.
No, are you really?
Hell yeah, I am.
Oh, that bums me out.
Why? I don't want to be bothered.
I thought I knew you.
Go on, get your own candy. You ain't got to come to my house for it.
I actually like Halloween. Having young kids at home, too. I know you got some as well. It's like...
I've been trying to get them out the house.
I know. You're like, get out. Go.
As soon as they're ready to roll, go on.
No Halloween, no Christmas. Get out of here.
Nothing.
18, here's your duffel bag. Get out, man.
Basically.
That's right. But I will say I love seeing the kids, and I want to say something too. One of the things that I always hear people complain about, and you probably complain about it too, is you turn off your light so you don't see anybody.
But that's right.
I get kids who come to the door. I get teenagers, right? And they come and they're not even dressed up. They're like in jeans and a shirt, and they got a bag. They just want free candy,
right?
And that used to really make me angry. I'm like, give me some effort, man. Or gal, give me an effort, like do something, right? Okay, yeah, you're a little too old, you're in between, you don't know if you should still go, so you don't want to be embarrassed, so you don't wear anything. But I will tell you this, that actually I've come full circle on that. I've done a 180 degree turn on that. If that's a kid still clinging a little bit to their childhood before they have to grow into adolescence and become a young adult, I'm okay with it. So if that person comes to your door and you answer your door, unlike Q, then just give him a pass, say hello to him, and just reassure him it's all good. But Bobby's got a point now.
One thing I've learned over the years is that frozen little mini Milky Way bars are fantastic projectiles.
Hey, man, where's Bobby from, man? Bobby Boston. Got a heavy accent.
He's from Boston.
Yeah, born and raised.
Oh, okay, I see you.
Yeah.
I like that, man. You sound kind of gangster. Not gangster Raider like, but just gangster.
No. I'm 57 and I'm from suburban Boston. Gangster is not in my vocabulary.
But you don't have to tell nobody that, man. You're over the radio. Yeah. Just imagine.
Dude, I've been here 100 years. Everybody knows me.
Don't let him fool you. He's part of the Portuguese mafia.
That's what I'm saying, man.
That's right.
Look, we can get a new job for you, homeboy.
All right, we're back talking Raider football. 702-365-9200 is the number. Q, I want to talk about offense. Let's talk about this Raiders offense because one of the problems that this whole issue with the defense creates is it puts all of the pressure on the offense. And it's not a bad thing when your offense is good necessarily because you say, hey, okay, great, we can go score. And if you look at the Raiders, remember before the season, people said this could be a top 10 offense.
And it is.
It's 11th. Okay, so it's right there. So yeah,
close enough.
I agree. It's 9th in passing. That quarterback who people said couldn't play, he's 9th in passing. They're 18th in rushing, which is the big surprise, and we'll get to that in a second. And they're 13th in scoring. Okay, so this offense is where you want it to be. I don't know with what they have if they could be a top 5 offense, but they're a top 10 offense. So if you had a top 20, top 18 defense, that would be great. But now, Q, you're going to ask Derek Carr to take all of the pressure. And look, he has to lead and step up. We've said that all season long, and I think he has. But Is it fair to the offense? No, but the reality is, and our good friend AFL Godfather on Twitter tweeted out that, hey, look, the Raiders basically have to score 34 points to win a game.
Well, I mean, yeah, and you say, is that fair? I mean, not necessarily, but the Chiefs did it. The Chiefs did it when they didn't have a defense at all, and I'm not saying they went to the Super Bowl that year because they didn't, and once they finally got Steve Spagnuolo in there and they were able to figure things out defensively, that's when they finally made their move and got into the Super Bowl a year later, and then they were able to win the thing, and they did have some defensive players step up, make some plays. But I'll tell you, man, for the longest, it was Patrick Mahomes and company or bust. I mean, so sometimes that's just how it is, and unfortunately for the Raiders, that might just be what it is.
Yeah. No, that's my. I agree with you. And I think the way we've seen Derek Carr play this year, he is creating. Going back to our first show on August 3rd, 2020, Lincoln Kennedy said he wasn't sure. He wasn't sure that Derek Carr could create plays, extend the plays with his feet, right?
Yep. Said he wouldn't. It wasn't in his DNA.
That's right. He didn't say he couldn't. He said he wouldn't. Right. Now, he has done a better job of that this year. Is he where he needs is he where he needs to be? Maybe not. But he's showing improvement. Okay? Right. So I like that. So you're right. The bottom line is, if I'm Derek Carr and I'm that offense, then I have to say, okay, guys, guess what? We have what we have on defense. Maybe they get a little better. Great. That's fantastic. We got to go win these ball games, right? And one of the things that I pointed out from the game, Q, not as a big deal, because we talked about it with Hunter Renfro yesterday too, was that Henry Ruggs was only targeted three times. On all six games the Raiders have played this year, the most targets Henry Ruggs has been five.
Right.
And we wondered why. John Gruden addressed it yesterday, is how do you get Ruggs more touches? And this created some headlines today.
Probably. We tried yesterday, but give Tampa Bay credit. They covered Ruggs. A few times they covered him like a blanket. So Ruggs has to beat one-on-one coverage. Certainly we have to diagram more plays to get him the ball, but when it is one-on-one, we need him to win. He knows that. We know that. And we're going to continue to work him in our offense. He's still a young player. But to answer your question, yes.
So, Q, that was couched in a lot of headlines today, not on our website, but on other websites, that he was calling out Henry Ruggs. Did you take it that way?
No, I didn't take it that way. I could see where people take it that way, though, especially ones that are looking to have some kind of headlines to, you know, get people to clickbait.
Right.
You know, I could totally see that. But no, I just think that it's in general, you're telling a guy who's a rookie, hasn't been in the league very long, hasn't played every game because of injury. I don't know if he's 100% healthy right now, but he's healthy enough to be out there performing, which is good. Kudos to him. I think he's being worked into the offense. I don't think he's one of those immediately hits the field and he's, you know, 85 catches and 1,300 yards and 10 touchdown type guy. I think he's one of those that you kind of have to work into the system and get him comfortable. You know, if you look at what he did at Alabama, he had Jerry Jeudy. He had the guy who just broke his leg. He's out for the year. He had other guys out there, you know, that were big time players as well. So, I mean, it wasn't as difficult to really work him in, and he didn't get as much attention because there were so many other guys that were on that team. Now, you know, he's the big time playmaker. So he's going to get that double coverage. He's going to get that single coverage from the real deal number one defensive back. And he's going to have to learn how to beat that.
Well, and I've heard some people who are very good at what they do talk about Ruggs and the fact that he's not a great route runner and that he's really the vertical guy who's going to be going down the field. And that's not true. If you look at Ruggs, now, as far as getting covered.
But he has so far.
Yeah.
Well, he's gone down the field a lot.
He has gone down the field a lot. But if you look at what he did Alabama and what he actually does with the Raiders, he goes downfield a lot, but he does crossing routes. Mm-hmm. And his route running is actually good. Technically, it still needs work. He's a rookie. But overall, when you watch the film, he's doing a bunch of different routes. So I think some people think he's just running these straight out routes that are just flares down the field on the sideline. And they're not. He's creating over the middle. They're going to shut him down. They're going to try to shut him down, which is why you got to punish him in other places. Okay, we got Charles from New York on the line. Charles, you're on.
Kentucky.
Oh, Kentucky. I'm sorry. I read the writing.
You were
wrong.
Close.
There was a Y in it. Charles, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys, let me make a few points real quick. This is so crazy. So, number one, Tampa Bay. Nobody knew how to prepare for Tampa Bay. Did anybody watch Green Bay play Tampa Bay?
Yes.
Tampa Bay is just now changing. Go back and look at the Saints game and look at the game now. Gruden right. and Gunther didn't know what to expect. Gronk hasn't been playing that well. The Raiders were out of sorts. The Raiders are one of them teams coming off a layoff. They don't do good. This game doesn't even worry me. Nobody needs to be fired. Nobody needs to be traded. If I'm Scott, I'm at the window taking the 2.5 and the Raiders and putting as much money on that game as I can because they're going to kill the Browns. And we won't even be talking about this. But we had a horrible week of practice. This is just crazy. Tampa has just come into their, you know, they're just peaking kind of. And here we are coming off a layoff, COVID. Just stop worrying. We're in good shape. This defense is better than that.
Yeah, Charles, I agree with you not pressing the panic button. I'm not Q and I are not that way anyway. But at the same time, I think that, look, you to beat the Buccaneers after what they went through, you're right, with the whole COVID disaster, all that stuff, I did not expect them to win. On the defensive side, the only thing that concerns me, though, is the fact that they're not showing progress. That's, you know, they make progress against Kansas City.
But no, they are, Scott, because they look. We totally erased the Kansas City game. Did you see what they did in Kansas City?
They did it for one half.
You could not prepare. Yeah, but you can't prepare for Tampa Bay because Tampa Bay, we don't even know what they are. Do you remember how bad they were saying Brady was the first 2 weeks?
Yep.
All of a sudden, they're coming into this offense, and Gruden and Gunther don't know how to even prepare for it. Nobody. What about the Packers? How good were the Packers? Was ranked number one in the NFL the week before. Mm-hmm. They scored 10 points. We almost had this team beat in the third. This is a game in the fourth quarter. Yeah. That Packer game was hideous.
Right.
Yeah.
But I will say a lot of the points that Tampa Bay scored against Green Bay were defense driven. The offense didn't do anything in that game.
No, you're right. And Charles, I get the gist of what you're saying, and I don't disagree with you. I just think from a defensive standpoint, watching the team a lot, that, yes, okay, so Tampa Bay was going to beat them. Tampa Bay was peaking, and yes, they didn't know what they were going to see. But individually, as you watch matchups, you just didn't see a lot of wins on even individual matchups, right, when you watch the film. And that's where I get concerned, not the outcome, because I agree with Charles on the outcome, Q. I just worry about the one-on-one battles I see, because I'm not saying you needed to have 5 sacks against Tom Brady, but it would have been nice to have some pressures.
It would have been nice to hit them.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't have to know how to prepare for a team to know how to get to the quarterback and at least put some pressure on him. And ultimately, they didn't. He dropped back 43 times, and he may have got sniffed one time by Mo Hurst. And even that was not much.
Yeah. The other thing I want to talk about real quick before we go to a break about the quarter hour is the continued just amazing play by Nelson Aguilar. By the Nelly man, right? Yeah. I mean, he had another great game. And then, of course, he misses one pass that was thrown at him, and people, oh, no. It's like, nah, don't let that get to him, I don't think. But if
I'm going to – hold on. Let me stop you there.
Yeah.
He actually had the ball bounce off his hands 3 times, and they were all in the second half after he dropped that first one. So I'm not saying I'm hitting the panic button about it, but I think there's concern there.
No, I don't think so.
You're way too easy on that one.
Yeah. Maybe.
He dropped an easy pass, and then he allowed two other ones. Derek Carr dropped a dime that could have been not a touchdown, but it would have set him like first and goal at the 5, and it bounced off his hands, and he didn't adjust to it right. And then the one that got intercepted, that should have been a pass interference penalty, but it clearly bounced right off his hands, and it went into Winnington, or not Winnington, that's not his name, but
right,
either
but
way.
But if what you're saying is true, that because if you're saying he was on his back, pass interference, right?
It was good hand placement by the DB.
Right. The downward momentum took him down and the ball popped off his hand.
Okay.
I don't think that's
he hit
on
both
him.
His hands.
The first one, absolutely, I agree with you. He just dropped it. Didn't
and the second
it.
One, what about that one?
Nah, I don't remember that one.
Convenient.
I really don't. I'll have to look.
Was the one where Derek Carr adjusted. The DB got in front of Nelly, and Derek Carr dumped it over his head. All he had to do was turn around and make the catch, and it bounced off his hands.
And he dropped it.
That's
a
drop.
You know why that happened? Because when he was a kid.
He dropped it.
When he was a kid, he rolled up on a house, and the person turned their lights off and didn't do trick-or-treating.
That's fine.
Stuck with him.
Yeah, he dropped the ball. Can't drop the ball. My concern is that he doesn't think about it, because he's been playing all season long without thinking, just going and reacting. Yes. I don't want him to revert back to thinking. When you think, you're slow.
No, and that point, Q, I absolutely agree with you, because, and somebody said it in the press box of the game, said, wow, I hope this does not get into his head because of the drops, that he then starts to think about it, to your point, right?
Yep.
So, all right, we're going out to Fabian in the South Bay, of course. Fabian, what's up on this Tuesday, my friend?
Of course. Okay.
Of course. You're reliable, man. I love it.
Well, let's go back to what I said on the on your sided question. Now, to me, it comes down to a few things. Gunther, who do I blame? I blame everybody. Gunther, because it's either his plan and or leadership or the lack thereof. The players, because either they're not executing the plan, or they're not up to the task, or they weren't prepared, i.e., you know, were they, the offense was great, and they're the ones that had the offensive line that had the issue. Defense wasn't bothered except for Abram not being able to play. So why did the defense change? Well, the offense didn't, and the offense was the one that had the issue. And then after that, it comes back to Gruden and Mayock. They're the ones that selected these players, that brought them into the building, believing that either they were the best fit, best available, and or the best that they could afford. Mm. So it's kind of wide-ranging, but it's like, what changed? Okay, we had the COVID issue, but we got four players back, and without Trent Brown, big deal. We haven't had him that much anyways. So why did the offense continue to click, but then what happened to the defense?
Yeah.
They were stellar in Kansas City. They've been stellar on the road, but at home, we only got one win.
Yeah, I agree. It's not just one thing, Fabian. I appreciate it, man. As always, thank you for the call. Good thoughts. And, yes, our sided debate before we go to the break, by the way, if you didn't see it, who's to blame for the Raiders' continued poor play on defense? We asked, is it all Paul Gunther? Is it Gunther and the players on defense? Is it Gunther, the players, and the front office? Or is it that defensive players are just a bust? And after 2 days, 42%, the majority, it's Gunther and the players, which is fair, I think, Q.
Yeah, I mean, it is. That's kind of goes without saying. Right. You know what I mean? Like, Gunther is lining these guys up, and he's calling, you know, plays, and it's not the right play call, or it's not the right execution by the players.
That's right. Okay, it is time for a break. When we come back, it'll be that time of the day when you sit down with a nice warm tea or coffee, and you clear your head and you listen, because the Q-tip is coming up after the break here on Silver and Black Today, only on Raider Nation Radio.
From Stabler to Plunkett and Allen to Jacobs, we've got your Raiders covered on Silver and Black Today. Here are your hosts, Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
Silver and Black Today, back here on Raider Nation Radio on this Tuesday. Las Vegas, Nevada, the capital of Raider Nation. Q Myers, Scott Gulbranson back with you. Coming up after the next break, we are going to fire up the NFL police blotter with our good friend, attorney Michael Troiano, who of course does criminal defense attorney work here in Las Vegas. He's going to join us. We're going to talk about the police blotter. We'll also talk football with him too. He's a big football guy, a former. I'm going to find out, Q. I'm really going to press him on, because he said he was giving up on the Steelers and fully embracing Raider Nation, right? Like it was a conversion,
yeah.
Like a religious conversion. But his old team is now 6-0, so I'm going to press him. And you got to help me make sure we try to see if he's slipping on us with that.
Yeah, no doubt. I always kind of feel some kind of way anyway when you talk about someone who's been like a lifelong fan and then all of a sudden they kind of switch. It's kind of hard to let those feelings go immediately, but we'll see where he's at with it.
I agree with that. That's true. We'll also talk to him about Allegiant Stadium, because UNLV is going to be playing on Halloween this Saturday. Yep. With fans in the stands. So we'll talk a little
2000,
bit.
2,000, right?
2,000. Ridiculous. We'll talk about that. And against Nevada Reno, the Wolf Pack. And you know who their two big alumni are, right, in the last 15 years?
Colin Kaepernick, and I don't know the other one.
Nate Burleson.
Oh, shout out to Nate.
There you go. There you go. You got one of them. I'm just going to give you the other one. Okay, it's that time of the day where we turn over the mic. We all get smarter because it's time for the Q-tip.
I can't hear you, Peach.
It's time to listen up, Raider Nation.
Can't hear you, Peach.
Clear out those ears and get ready for the Q-tip. Your boy Q's daily take on what you need to hear.
That very precision seems to drive Q-tip fans right over the edge.
Like it or not.
Well, today I'm not complaining about anything. I don't know how smart we're going to get off of this one. I just really want to see something improved. And I'm not really taking this off of last week's game because I realize Tampa Bay is really good defensively and particularly against the run. But I would like to see the Raiders get Josh Jacobs, more going, more fired up, more touches. He had quite a bit of touches against the Chiefs, but I mean, I would just like to see him stay up there around 20, 25 touches every game. I'd like to see him get over 100 yards sometime this season, you know, and I know that Gruden was asked about Josh Jacobs, his health, in yesterday's media session, and of course, Gruden said that he's a little banged up, but he's as banged up as everyone else. Just kind of would like to see Josh Jacobs put in more work, you know, and get over 100 yards and be that bell cow that everyone expects him to be. I know we had conversations yesterday about having a bigger bruising back like a Derrick Henry. Josh Jacobs, I believe, is a really, really good back. Love what he did his rookie year. Kind of like to see the Raiders get, you know, back to getting him even more involved into the offense, you know, passing in the receiving game and in the rush game, obviously. But he's doing okay. He's just not doing great. You know what I mean? And so it's not like it's a super negative, like, oh, man, he's doing bad. I just would like to see him do better, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. And, I mean, he's averaging 3.4 yards per carry.
Right.
If you look at all the starting or all the running backs in the NFL, that ranks 44th out of 46. Okay?
Right.
So, again, it's not Josh Jacobs doing a poor job per se. It's just they are not getting him going. And that's right. Some of that's on him, yes, but a lot of it's on your offensive line. A lot of it's on where you are in a game. Again, you get down by 21 points, you're not going to be running the ball a lot.
No, you're not. You know, and they've been using him in the passing game. He's been getting a handful of catches each and every game, you know, 2, 3, 4 catches here, there. I mean, that's fine. But I just want to see him more involved as just like a weapon. I don't really care how you do it. I just think that he's a heck of a player, and you just need to get him more involved.
That's a great point, Q, because that's the other thing. Okay, so yeah, so you're going up against Tampa Bay. You know it's going to be tough sledding running. Okay, so so Josh Jacobs was not going to get 100 yards. Just
right.
It wasn't going to happen, okay? So why not get him more active in the passing game? They did a couple times,
right?
But I don't know why they didn't run more of those plays where they give the, whether it's an RPO or whether it's just a quick dump off to him and let him run in some space, because that's where we know he can do damage. Especially that's why you want him in the passing game. Get him the ball in open space and let him go.
Exactly. I mean, look, week one, I like what the Raiders did with him. You know, obviously he ran the ball a lot against the Panthers, 25 times, almost 100 yards. He had 93 yards. And then he also caught the ball 4 times for 46 yards. I'll take those kind of numbers every day of the week and twice on Sunday. That's the kind of numbers I want to see. I want to see, you know, 85 yards, 30 yards receiving, or 110 yards rushing, you know, 35 yards receiving, something like that. Not 17 yards rushing and 14 yards receiving. That's a bad day at the office. And Josh Jacobs is a better player than that.
Well, and this offense, and we always say it, it doesn't matter how much they pass. You have to establish the run. And if you're not going to run the ball, to the point we've been just belaboring for the last 3 minutes, is you have to get the running backs involved in the game. And I will say, though, that Jalen Richard got out there, and Devontae Booker was out there. They used him a little bit. But what I saw at the beginning of the season in using the running backs more creatively and in the rotation that they were using them, they seem to have completely pulled back from that. Are you seeing the same thing?
Yeah, I do. I do. I'm with you on that. So
yeah, and I don't know what that is, if it's the game planning or what, but you have three guys that all have their own strengths, Josh Jacobs being the top guy, of course.
Right.
But Devontae Booker comes off the game against Kansas City where he really spelled Josh Jacobs well. And again, Tampa Bay was a different game, and that's the point that I think Fabian and Charles in Kentucky was making, which is don't read too much into that one game. Yes, we saw some problems that continue to rear their ugly head, but overall, I think that, like you're talking about, the running game, people are fixated that it's a Josh Jacobs issue, and it's not. It's an entire team issue.
Yeah, exactly. That's my whole point, and that's why I didn't want it to make it sound like I was, you know, dumping on him. I just would like to see him involved more, and that's not really him. That's the team getting him involved.
Yeah. Also, by the way, we talked yesterday. And you know, again, it's one of those things you move past pretty quickly. But we talked yesterday about John Gruden's decision to kick the field goal on the fourth and short in that fourth quarter. EDJ Sports puts out a weekly. I didn't see this until today. I don't know if you've seen this yet. Mm-mm. The top five coaching errors in the NFL on Sunday. Okay, this is based on statistical analysis, and what they do
analytics.
Yes, exactly. Mm. Which can be a blessing and a curse.
Right.
When you look at this, they look at individual plays and they say, okay, what was the impact and how much did it impact the chances of the team winning the game? Number one worst coaching error on Sunday, according to EDJ Sports, which you can follow on Twitter at EDJ Sports. Matt Rhule, in the fourth quarter, 2 minutes left, fourth and 19th on the New Orleans 47, he tried a field goal, trailing 27-24.
And almost hit it.
And almost hit it.
It didn't say that, though, right?
No.
It was, 65-yard field goal?
65
yards. And if it had been six, I mean, he was right there. He damn near made that field goal.
Yes. That reduced their chances of winning the game by 10%, basically. Apparently, the statistical analysis, again, and I'm not one of these number geeks, but the statistical analysis says that even on a fourth and 19, they would have had a better chance of getting that first down than making the field goal, which is interesting. The second biggest coaching error of the day, John Gruden. Reduced the Raiders' chances of winning the game by 3.8%, followed by Bill Belichick, Lynn with the Chargers, and Matt Patricia, who seems to be on that list every week. So just, you know, for what it's worth.
Said by 3.8%?
Correct, 3.8%.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
it's only 3.8%.
Yes.
I'm not sweating it. And look, it worked.
Yeah.
I mean, it really did. They were in position. They blew it defensively by not making fundamental tackles. That's all they had to do.
Correct.
They had to wrap up and make sure the guy, when it's third and 13, you're off the field. I don't care who you are. And you saw it last night. The Rams and the Bears. It was third and 10, and the Rams fell back to the sticks. They let them check down, and they came up and made the tackle. That's what good teams do. Fundamentally sound teams do that. And that's what the Raiders had the opportunity to do, and they blew it.
Especially when you have that much money at linebacker and they were playing out of position.
Exactly.
Okay, we're going out to Brian in Las Vegas.
No.
Sorry. Russi in Australia.
That wasn't even close. What are you reading? Chinese?
How are you doing, boys?
Good, man. How you doing down under?
Oh, it's good. It's beautiful, sunny Wednesday morning for me. So
yes.
It's absolutely delightful down here.
Awesome. Nice. What do you
it's
got
freezing
for
in Texas.
Are you worried about the Raiders?
I'm worried, and I think I've got a solution, but it's the same. It's not actually the same deal that that Q wants to make for Williams. I would actually trade Ty's contract and a fourth for Williams. Ty's not going to play for a year. Jets are going to go 0-16 anyway. So there's no money. Penalty for moving Tyrell Williams. It's pretty much unwritten anyway that Raiders will be releasing him once this season's done. So that's the first move I'd make. Secondly, and I completely agree with what you guys were just saying, 3.8% on a field goal doesn't matter. Third and 13 matters. So actually what Gruden did was increase the chances of the Raiders winning
just very, very poor stick awareness. They always talk about wide receivers not making it so, you know, on a third and four, a third and five, running to the sticks and sitting down. It's the same thing with the D, especially with that linebacking core that Littleton, I don't know where his coverage skills have gone, whether it's a scheme thing, but he's always looked good covering backs out the backfield and certainly tight ends, but he doesn't look like he could cover anything at the moment. So I definitely think improve the defensive line. And the other thing about the pressure on Brady, and hopefully you'll see the funny side of this, given the fact that that defensive line was practicing against squad players because our offensive line were all in quarantine, no wonder they didn't have much of an effort, because they probably were pushing on Carr all week because of the talent drop-off level. That's it for me, boys.
All right, Rusty, thanks so much, man. We appreciate you calling from Australia. And the trade thing with Quinnen Williams, yeah, I get that trade in the contract, because it's just a paperwork issue. But he brought up the good point there that we talked about earlier, Q, the linebacking core. I mean, you invested $57 million, and you should not have those guys playing out of position on a 3rd and 13.
Again, the play of the game, in my opinion.
Yeah. Brian in Las Vegas, you're next up with Q with Scott here on Silver and Black today.
Hey, good afternoon, Scott and Q.
What's up?
I really wish that we would just stay away from the whole trades and free agency thing. We're just doing bad in all aspects of that, offense and defense wise. I just want to stick to the draft. Like we were talking yesterday, Q, in regards to, you know, we had an opportunity to get Devin White. I was high on him. Mm-hmm. You know, stuff like that. I'd rather just get the guy maybe from Alabama, that middle linebacker who got hurt last year. He's healthy this year.
Yep.
Stuff like that. I mean, like Scott, you just said, we invested in linebacker core $50 million. To me, let's not look at the money part. Which is very, you know, a factor. Draft these players, these young players, and compete. You know, Nick K, and also Littleton. Let's just take the dollar signs out of it. If these rookies that we're drafting, say next year, are playing better than them, play them. Don't play Littleton and this other guy because of their contracts. But I know this is a business, and they're not going to do that. But that's just how I look at it. Just I don't want to invest any more money in free agency.
Well, Brian,
I mean, I like Quinnen Williams in Alabama. I really did.
Yeah,
as a pro, it's different.
Brian, let me ask you a question, though. I'm not trying to interrupt you. I want to ask you an honest question, and that is, I hear what you're saying, and I think for the most part, that's what the Raiders are doing, is they're building through the draft, right? So they did go out, and I just said all that money they spend on linebacking core, but draft picks are not a sure thing either. So you can you look at the first round draft picks basically are a 50-50 bust. So if that's the case, isn't it prudent to try to go get some guys to supplement? You don't want to build a team of free agents. The Raiders have done that in the past where they've gone and gotten a bunch of placeholder guys who were past their prime, Vontaze Burfict and all these other guys who just never could get to where they used to be. So it's got to be balanced, right?
Right, but I'd rather, Scott, but what I'd rather do, even though we have Max Crosby at the defensive end, I still would have wanted to draft a defensive end high in the draft. We got Max Crosby in the 4th or 5th round. If that D end is playing better than Max Crosby, because to me, Max Crosby had one good year. I know we're not even halfway through this year yet. He's doing okay.
Right.
But if there's another D end that we can draft from LSU or Alabama or wherever, that's outplaying Max Crosby. I don't care what you did, Max Crosby, as your rookie season.
Well, yeah, but
you're going to be in the rotation.
Well, Brian, they drafted a defensive end out of Clemson in the first round with the 4th pick.
Okay, but you're talking about
Farrell
Klee.
Yeah, but he's not living up to it. It's still early. He's not living up to it. I'm sorry, he's not.
Uh-huh. True.
And so if we draft a D tackle or DN, whatever one that you want to say Cleveland Farrell is playing this week, if we draft somebody that's better than him, you're sitting Cleveland Farrell. I don't care if you're the fourth pick in the draft. You're sitting. It shouldn't go by
what you were drafted a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
If I draft a rookie in 2001, that's outplaying you, you're sitting. And so, you know, these, like you said, everybody's not going to stick around as a Raider, regardless of when these rookies.
Right.
You know, when it comes to, okay, well, your time's up, your third or fourth year, you know, you may be gone, Cleveland Farrell.
Yeah, Brian.
So don't get attached to these players.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, Brian. Thanks again, man, for the call. We appreciate that. And you're right. You have to build. You have to use young guys. I think you do have to pepper in. You just got to make good hits when you sign free agents.
Well, when you sign free agents, the one thing I hate that teams do all the time, and I'm not just saying this exclusively to the Raiders, but teams do it all the time, is they sign a guy who's really good at what he does, and then they ask him to do something different. Great example that Raider fans will remember, Nnamdi Asamoah. He was doing great things in man-to-man press coverage with the Raiders. He goes to the Eagles as a free agent, and they ask him to play zone coverage and sit out there as a almost like a nickel corner, and, well, his career went to crap. Now he's an actor.
Yes.
I mean, he's a really good actor. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But his career just torpedoed because they asked him to do what he didn't do that made them like him to begin with. That's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. If I'm a wheel, don't ask me to be a hood. I'm a wheel. If I'm a hood, don't ask me to be a wheel. It's just simple.
Right.
What I do is what I do. If you want to use me in that way, great. If not, leave me alone.
I think you'd be a hood ornament.
No. I'd be a wheel because I get that thing rolling.
All right, we're going out. Before the break, we're going to go out to our friend H in Albuquerque, Land of Enchantment. What's going on there, H?
Hey, how you guys doing? I haven't been able to tune in lately over the past few days, so I apologize if I happen to be redundant.
That's okay.
But I was really bugged with Gruden's decision to kick that field goal because the defense had been playing really poorly up to that point. And on his presser, he said, well, we wanted to make that stop. It was a four-point game. We have a top offense and one of the worst defenses. Until further notice, we should go out there with the idea we got to score 30 every game.
34 to be exact.
That's the only way we're going to give us the opportunity to win. Because, I mean, keep the ball in your offense's hand whenever possible. When we have the right field position, go. It's four-down territory when a game is close, as far as I'm concerned. Go for it.
Yeah, so H, love it, man. Thanks for the call. H is on board with the offense and going with it on fourth and short. Okay, time to take a break when we come back. The police blotter is fired up. Bobby's pushing the buttons. It's starting to activate. Michael Troiano will be with us next here on Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio.
From Stabler to Plunkett and Allen to Jacobs, we've got your Raiders covered on Silver and Black Today. Here are your hosts, Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
We're back here on Silver and Black Today, the home stretch. Q Myers, Scott Gulbranson on Raider Nation Radio. Thanks to everybody who called in today. Fantastic calls.
Hey, Scott.
Yes, sir.
Can I ask you something real quick?
You may.
Because I have something that's been on my mind for the longest, and I don't know the answer to it. It just blows my mind. Maybe somebody can answer it.
Okay.
What is Raider Nation's infatuation with Will Compton?
Good question. Nice guy.
He's not that good.
No, he's a nice guy. I like his podcast with Tyler Luan.
Okay.
The Bustin' with the Boys. It's a good listen.
Right.
It's a good
listen. What does that do for the field?
Nothing. There are people there who will say things negatively about coaching staff, about other people, and then say they'll go say that they need to sign that guy. I don't understand that.
Like it blows my mind. I mean, there's guys.
A lot of them. I'm not talking about one or two people. I'm talking about a lot of people.
Right. But there's a lot of people that are cutting for this guy because Tennessee cut him. And by the way, they just signed him not too long ago, but they've already let him go. And they're like, oh my God, he needs to be a Raider. Remember what he did last year? No, I don't.
I'll tell you what it is. You want me to tell you what it is?
Please.
By the way, Tennessee signed him to their practice squad, so he's actually on the back
case. Exactly. So, kind of let you know where, what they think.
Which is where he started. It's because he is very fan friendly. He talks to a lot of people. He talks to a lot of everyday fans. So I think a lot of fans relate to him. And so they don't see the forest through the trees and say, okay, great guy, cool, good dude. When you were with the Raiders, you were really nice to people. You showed your appreciation. You gave your all. He is a tough, you know, a guy who goes out and plays as hard as he can. But the last thing the Raiders need is a third string linebacker.
It's Eric Harris.
Yeah, exactly.
He's Eric Harris.
There you
but
go.
He's a linebacker.
Yes. Yeah. Eric Harris.
Blows my mind.
Eric Harris is definitely a couple steps above.
And shout out to Raider Al from Georgia. He's like, you and Will Compton, you won't let that go. I won't. It blows my mind. There are so many people that try to cut for that dude.
Right.
And I'm telling you.
These are some of the... These are
maybe Eric Harris at best.
These are some of the same people who are literally like talking about Paul Gunther's family and stuff too, by the way. I've seen some of that.
Oh, that's not cool.
No, it's terrible. Or just calling for his job like 800 times a day, which is like, okay, we get it. You want Paul Gunther fired. You don't have to say it every 5 minutes. It's not going to make it happen. So anyway, well, we're
I had to get that off my chest. Sorry. I ain't going to talk about him no
that's
more.
That's good.
Promise.
No, I like that, man. I actually wondered that earlier today because I saw maybe like 8 or 10 tweets saying the same thing. It was very strange. Okay, we have fired up the police blotter. It's actually been pretty slow. Not a ton of legal issues, which is a good thing in the NFL with players. But we did have Melvin Gordon up in Denver, pulled over for DUI, had a little too much fun. And we bring in our good friend now, and that, of course, is local criminal defense attorney Michael Troiano. Michael Troiano, you can reach out to him, whether it's a simple DUI, something more serious. Give them a call at 702-843-5500. Or visit TroianoVegasLaw.com. Michael, how you doing on a Tuesday, man?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Good. I'm thinking you broke out a turtleneck, didn't you, with the chilly weather here?
You know, I got these brand new pairs of sweatpants, and I'm breaking them in, and I'm enjoying it.
I love it. You're obviously not in court today. Listen, so Melvin Gordon gets pulled over, has a little too much wine at dinner, gets pulled over, and, you know, this isn't some big, remarkable case. Luckily, thank God, he didn't get in an accident. He didn't hurt anybody, but he was speeding at excessive rate of speed. He gets pulled over for drunk driving. They arrest him, and he handles it, I thought, pretty well as far as an individual who gets caught drunk driving. He immediately admitted what he did was wrong and that it was not a good thing to do. But for anyone, Michael, somebody getting into the car after having a drink, they don't know necessarily or they don't think that they're intoxicated. But in this case, and what you read about the details, he kind of did what he should have done except for get behind the wheel and drive, correct?
No, I got to disagree. So if you're going to make the mistake of getting behind the wheel after drinking, and let me be clear, it is a mistake. The blood alcohol content for Nevada is 0.08, which is very low. You know, adult male, average height, weight, 5'10", 180-ish, we'll call it. And it's about maybe two beers, give or take. It really doesn't take that much. And what's also interesting under state law in Nevada, as well as many other states here in the United States of America, they can also get you convicted for having a blood alcohol content that's even under the legal limit.
Wow.
It's pretty lengthy, but basically the way that they phrase it is that you are under the influence of an intoxicating substance or controlled substance to any degree, however slight, which renders you incapable of safely driving. Which, again, long-winded, but I just explained to them, let's use the example of you got a mythical 21-year-old niece or nephew that's never drank before, and let's say it's a nephew and he's a big dude, 6'3", 245, and has two light beers. Normally a guy of that height and weight wouldn't have much effect on it. Not that they should drive, but it really wouldn't do much for somebody who's had alcohol before. But we all know that none of us are going to hand somebody the keys after the first time they had a cocktail or a beer or two, because you just have no idea how that person's going to react. So you got to be careful that thinking that you're safe because you're technically under a 0.08, if you figure that out, really doesn't protect you at all from getting a DUI arrest and charge.
Michael Troiano joins us, criminal defense attorney here in Las Vegas. You can reach out to him. We're talking about the DUI of Melvin Gordon. 743-5500 is his number. And Michael, now Q and I want to we in that case we're talking about earlier. In that case, to your point about you get pulled over, you make that initial mistake, which is a mistake you shouldn't make, right? Don't do it, number one. But if you do it, the first thing you do is you get a sobriety test, you get all that stuff, and then they take you to jail. The first thing you do, and this isn't just because you're online with us, but you don't. Do you recommend that you make any statements to the police, or do you just say, hey, no, you're respectful, you do what they ask you to do, and then you don't talk to anybody until you or their attorney arrives?
Yeah, absolutely. And they're not going to bring in an attorney for a DUI case. I have a lot of clients that'll come in my office, and that's the first thing they say, well, then read me my Miranda rights, which is great if they're investigating a future crime or a crime they haven't solved yet, like a murder, and you're a suspect and they're on the verge of arresting you. But for a DUI, the argument is that they're just building probable cause, because when they first pulled you over for the traffic violation and Mr. Gordon's situation, it was excessive speeding. So all they have is what we call reasonable suspicion to detain you. And if there's nothing else that's apparent, then they have to write you the citation to leave. But then you start telling on yourself by making admissions, saying where you were, what you consumed, what you didn't, doing these field sobriety tests, which are not required here in the state of Nevada, things of that nature. It kind of walks up the ladder from starting off to reasonable suspicion to then giving them probable cause, at which point they arrest you. And I just tell clients, if you get pulled over, they smell it on you, they're going to arrest you no matter what you do or what you say. So I'd rather work with a blank canvas at court and have them not make admissions or lie to the police or do anything like that. So, yes, give them your ID, your driver's license, your registration, your insurance, get out of the vehicle. But under no circumstances is talking going to help you whatsoever, because you just got to assume you're going to jail. You already know you have the alcohol in your system. It's a foregone conclusion. Now let's figure out what we could do to make this not a completely life-altering mistake.
Well, I don't mean to change the subject, but I have to ask you before we let you go. I got to ask you, I know that you're a Raider fan now, but I know previously you were a Steeler guy. You were part of the Steelers fan base. Let's put it like that. There's no such thing as Steelers Nation. That doesn't exist. But what are your thoughts right now as the Steelers are 6-0? And the Raiders are 3-3. Are you kind of dipping back in the waters of the Steelers, or are you still staying strong with the Raiders?
Well, no, I'm a local guy, and it's funny. I was talking to my wife about this. I could imagine being one of the listeners driving. Like, what do you mean this guy has two teams? Because my whole life, there was only one team. My family's from Pittsburgh. I had no team, so it was all the Steelers because I love NFL football. So to wake up and have a team in my hometown is something that I didn't dream about for years. So for the listeners out there that think I'm full of it, I get it. I would have probably said the same thing. But no, I'm still watching the Steelers. I think I mentioned to Scott about 2 years ago before the Raiders officially came here, but after it was announced, is I'm at to the point now where Big Ben's my guy, one of, if not my favorite football players that I got to see his entire career in my adult life. And as long as he's huddling up behind center, I'm going to watch it. And I like last week where Steelers had a 10 a.m. game, Raiders had a 1 o'clock game. It gave me a nice full day of rooting. But no, I'm definitely invested in the Raiders and becoming a lot more educated on the history and the team.
Well, yes, and we appreciate your support of Raider Nation Radio, Michael, as always. And by the way, if you need his help, listen, reach out to him. He's one of the best young criminal defense attorneys here in Las Vegas. He can help you with everything. Yes, we talked about a DUI today, but there's lots of other things that he do. Check out Troiano
Vegas.
Did
Big Ben ever reach out to him?
Big Ben, no. He didn't reach out to you, did he?
He's had his own cases. I'm just saying. Stowing it out there.
When he was in trouble.
yeah, that's too funny. All right. Michael Troiano, you check him out, TroianoVegasLaw.com, or call 702-843-5500. Michael, we'll talk to you real again soon. We appreciate you. All right, Michael Troiano there with us.
He dropped the mic after that. He was like, I'm done with these guys.
I'm done. Q, as always, man, have a great night. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, brother, I'm out.
All right, for Q Myers, Scott Colbranson, Bobby Machado here on Raider Nation Radio. This has been Silver and Black Today in the Huddle. Vinny Bonsignor and Lincoln Kennedy coming up next. Don't go anywhere, everybody.
fresh off facing the scene.